In the Go Prayer Book, would you please turn to page 183? 183, and in the, if you have the white binder, just turn to the first page that says Kadampa Center Prayers, and we'll chant the Shakyamuni Buddha Mantra. In the Go Prayer Book, it's the words between the two lines at the bottom of the page. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Now turn to page 34 in the Gold Prayer Book, and in the white binder we'll read the four measurables in English one time. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn to the page 37, and we'll chant four measurables chanting version toward the bottom there. And in the white prayer book, it's the Tibetan words by the music notes. Sen chen ta che de wa dong de we ju dong dem par ju chi tu. Chant Chenrezig's mantra 8 times, and then Green Tower's mantra 7 times. It's on the bottom of page 37. Om mani padme hum, 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 om tare tu tare tu re soha, om tare tu re soha. Om tare tu 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 tare tu re soha. The children are welcome to go to their classes.
Last Sunday I explained meditations. Now probably this Sunday continues, okay, about meditation. So very end of the class last Sunday I said, you know, it's good to have some kind of instructions, you know, to do like meditation is all about, you know, meditation is, so then a lot of people contributed, on that. Maybe before I talk, maybe, please would you want to take 1 minute to introduce yourself to each other, so then after that I will start my meditation. Continue from the last Sunday class about meditation. So, no, because of mind, you know, mind, because of our mind. So, because of that, you know, we experience all kind of, you know, problems. Lot of problems that we experience because of, you know, this mind, the mind that we have. So then, lot of like happiness that we enjoy now, or we are going to enjoy in the future, that's because of the mind. So such as, you know, like liberation, enlightenment, these are all result of our mind. So then, therefore, meditation is for mind. How to develop our mind, you know, how to develop our mind. We are thinking our mind, you know, this like, there are so many mental qualities that we as a human, we can develop. Oh. Then through those mental qualities, we could liberate ourselves from all this complication for good. The everlasting vacations. Everlasting vacations, no more complications. See, like, therefore, we have been, you know, I did explain, so the discussion also took place last Sunday. The purpose, you know, this is very, very important. You know, this is very, very important, including myself. It's very, very important to understand the purpose of meditation, you know, is to reduce our disturbing thought. If I generate disturbing thought, I'm going to be not happy. Doesn't matter, the rope doesn't help. The rope doesn't protect from the disturbing thought. Only my mind, you know, you can wear rope, so I'm happy to give you one. So if that protects from disturbing thought, I'm happy to give you one. So there's no have rope. Only my mind can protect. So same, you have mind, I have mind, same, no, that level, no difference. So, so the disturbing thought, no, then based on all kinds of like stories or reasons, you know, all kinds of reasons and all kinds of, you know, stories. So, but when we meditate, we are learning how to protect our, you know, mind. Tajie Pampa Mahintan, there's one of the Indian masters called Vasubandhu, Indian master, he wrote one text called Abhidharma Kosha. That text has 8 chapters, you know. So chapter number 3, you know, talks about Buddhist cosmology, all, you know, like all kind of different kind of life here on earth, you know, and all of that. In chapter number 8, chapter number 5, and he said, no, Tajie Pampa Mahinta, no, I am not free from, how is it, disturbing thought. No, I do have disturbing thought, you know, Tajie Pampa Mahinta. So, if you are in that category, so probably need to listen carefully. I am not free from my disturbing thought, Tajie Pampa Mahinta. So being close to the object, you know, object, we have all kind of opinions, you know, oh, look good, not look good, no, I like, not like, all kind of object, you know. Tajie Pampa Mahinta, yun in yawan nevata. Sushi mai yije de, so. So then, you know, first, initially, that I am not free from disturbing thought. Secondly, I'm close to the object. Could be things, could be people, could be, you know, tradition, could be culture, could be, you know, types of people, could be religion, belief, whatever it might be. So then you start to project on that object, you know, or maybe you say, one way to say, you start to create stories, you know, stories based on that object, you know. That's how the delusion arises, that's how disturbing thought arises, you know. Conditions, object, cause, you know, it's not, you are not free. That's how this, you know, disturbing thought arises. Don't think that, you know, like, or don't blame yourself, you know, don't blame yourself, you know. So if you really don't like that, so the best thing is what we can do as human, liberate ourselves. So therefore now that brings back to the point of meditation. The purpose of meditation is to reduce or minimize disturbing thought, okay? Understand? Yeah. Do you agree? Huh? Oh, meditation is just like sitting like chicken. Or just learning how to take nap. No, so... So then it's good to go to the monastery because there's a lot of long hour sitting. You can't just, you have to sit like this, all packed like sardine. So the long hour, then slowly you will learn how to take nap. You don't have to put any intention, you will learn. When time goes by, you will learn. So then you look exactly like this. From outside, it looks like you're meditating, but you are taking nap. In the beginning, you know, you go up like this, go like that. Slowly, slowly, then you learn. Once in a while, then you snore, then you wake up. So this is just, you know, sitting, you know, just sitting. This is just how you sit when you meditate. Certain meditation requires certain position. That's how you sit. That's just sitting, you know. Anybody can do. So now is the purpose of meditation. If the purpose of meditation is to reduce disturbing thought, then how? We need to think something positive. No? When you think something positive, then that is meditation. Doesn't matter how you sit. If you are sitting like this, if you're all thinking something negative, just doing nothing, you know? You're just doing nothing. You know? Okay, it's early morning, then you think you are meditating, you sit like this, and all of a sudden your maybe husband or your wife, you know, whatever, making some kind of coffee downstairs, you say, "Can you make less noise? I'm meditating." Actually, you are not really meditating. No, it's just sitting like that, you know. It's to reduce the disturbing thought. So now how to think something positive? So therefore, the very end of the class last time, I said it's good to come with some guidelines. Easy to say think something positive, you know. I myself, you know, heavily rely on some materials to do my meditation, you know. It's hard, just sit like that, think nothing, that's very hard, you know. So I rely on some materials. Well, I'm walking around, you know, in my hub, between my, like, altar room and kitchen, I just go walk around, you know. At the same time, I'm just thinking something, some kind of material in my head, I'm thinking, you know. Like once a blue moon, I'm thinking, you know, most of the time I'm just saying, I'm just blah, 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 you know, not really thinking. So then also, that's also another way of wasting time. So, you know, when you say something, you need to think meaning, Oh. So all the meditation, pretty much, you know, all the meditation in Buddhism begin with, you know, thinking something positive about yourself. See, precious human life. This is not just piece of junk that I don't like, or I hate myself, I don't like the way I look. That's what we should not think. What we should think, this is so precious, so meaningful, so difficult to find. It's been said, repeatedly said, last 2,500 years, it's been said again and again and again and again. Right now, it's just intellectual understanding. I just understand intellectually, you know, what precious human life means. So then I think, then slowly, I gain experiential understanding of precious human life. Next time, when I say it means something, rather than it just means nothing. Next time, it is more than word. When I say precious human life, I feel. So that's called realization. So that, you know, we must make our mind familiar with this kind of topic, you know. It's not just one time, again and again, again and again. So then, till you reach aha moment, that's how they say here, aha moment. Yeah. So then, there's every meditation, you know, every meditation except samatha meditation. Samatha meditation or kamabhati meditation not necessarily begin with the precious human life. It can begin with anything, you know. But other than that, all the other types of meditation, pretty much begin with, you know, thinking something positive. That's why I said last Sunday, very end of the class, I told here, it's good to come up with some kind of instructions, how you are going to think something positive. Or I will begin with maybe environment, or maybe today I will be, not every day changing, you know, you could do that, but you know, if you really want to make your mind familiar with, you know, some kind of instructions, that's how I'm going to think positive, you know, that's how I'm going to think, you know, like now on, that's how I'm going to think, so then I become so familiar, then with very little effort, you can do meditation quite easily. The beginning is just because of effort, you know, could be begin with, you know, environment or something, you know, something positive, okay, something positive. So then, you know, in Buddhism, so that's the beginning of every meditation. Besides the Samatha meditations, every meditation begins with the precious human life. Tenjonya gas. Chalalongam hilakubisana. Tenjonya gas. Oh, very difficult to find. But it's not going to be there forever. It is going to change. Everything, then the second topic is impermanent. Everything change. People change, season change. If you don't like winter, just be patient. It's not going to be there forever. It's going to be, you know, some other seasons. You know? Then spring will come, slowly. So then if you, so even the weather is not testing us, you know, or give you some little bit of springs. If people are enjoying too much, I'll send some pollen. So, no, like, wherever you go, there you are. You know, so like, there's always something, always something. If you can think something positive, if you educate yourself how to think positive, slowly you can think something positive when you encounter very difficult circumstance, you still manage to think something positive. Then you accomplish. You know, you did your meditation very well. So could be physical problems, you know, some kind of health problem, but there is very little negative impact on your mind. Your mind is positive. Even though you have these physical problems, but your mind can handle. Slowly. So then you can, you know, any circumstance, you can still manage to think something positive. Isn't that wonderful? No, that's what's going to happen. Slowly. Otherwise, you know, as I mentioned last time, the samsara, in Buddhism it's called samsara. What is samsara? Samsara is filled with complications. Everything, you know, like, comes with complications. Center of food, you know, job, the positions, all kinds of everything, you know, comes with complications. What is that? That's like simply, that's the nature of samsara. So then the same like, you know, the rolling stone. I can get no satisfaction. Rolling stone, same. You know, this is not that there are beautiful flowers, beautiful people, a lot of beautiful things, but you cannot rely on that 100%. Why? It's going to be changed. You can 100% rely on, doesn't mean you cannot enjoy. Seeking, sometimes they translate. That's why this, you know, in Tibetan is all, I can get no satisfaction. That's already in the text, but it's not how it's been said like this. No, said something. Then sometimes they found that seeking samsaric pleasure is draw to all the suffering. That's wrong. I think that's a wrong translation. What's the right translation? Rolling stone. That's the right translation. I can get no satisfaction. That's the right translation. That's exactly what it means. Chevimingo. having that awareness in your mind, having that awareness does make difference, no? What we think, how we think makes big difference. It matters. It does matter. Not just does matter, it makes big difference, no? How I think. So, meditation, you know, is all about, you know, thinking something positive. So, therefore, to come up with some, you know, you don't have to use instruction in Buddhist book. You can create your own instructions. But the instruction in the Buddhist book has been used last 2500 years. It has history, you know. The instruction has been, somebody made it up, and there's a group, lot of people follow the instructions, then produce great results. That's history. But you can come up with some, you know, ideas. So. So nowadays, on, you know, social media, people post all, you know, a lot of good things. You can copy them, you know. Just make instructions, you know. That's how I'm going to think, you know. That's how I'm going to think. You know? So then, then you don't need much effort, you know. So you, in the beginning, that needs some effort. In the end, you know, if you decide to sit or lay down, maybe 20 minutes or 15 minutes, you're just thinking something, you know, something positive. It's good for health, you know, good for, if you think good, you feel good. If you feel good, you do good things, you know. If you think something negative, you don't feel good. If you don't feel good, you know, you don't see good, then you do all kind of bad things, you know. What we need? We need good people. We need loving people. We need compassionate people. That's what we need. That's exactly what the world needs. No, world does not need more Buddhists. World does not need more Christianity. World does not need more religions. There's religion that exists throughout the century, but problems there. What we need good people. If everybody managed to think something positive, you know, may all sentient beings, not just may all American beings, may all like white beings, not like that, no. May all sentient beings, I really, sincerely, genuinely wish all living beings have, you know, happiness. So, you know, that if you, that means very open, you are really open, you know. So that's what he's already been saying, that's what I believe, you know, good people, everybody enjoy meeting good people, you know. Not everybody necessarily enjoying religious people, meeting religious people, but everybody enjoy meeting good people, you know. And there's good people, compassionate, kind, gentle, everybody enjoy, you know, everybody enjoy, okay? So that's the point. So that's, we can do that through meditation, you know. Gomtob Nyumochu was. Now back to my point, Gomtob. Gom, meditation, top power. Nyumong, afflicted mind. Chuan is less. So now when you translate that, the power of meditation is to less disturbing thought. Tudob Shishidua. So then reading spiritual books. The more you read, if your mind becomes calm, then that's the purpose of reading spiritual books, you know, to proper tutop, you know, hearing, discussing or reading spiritual books is to make your mind calm and peaceful. So then, you know, each and every one of us has responsibility that's why we have discussions. How to create some kind of instructions that helps people to think something positive, something good, that's all. Not necessarily to think about, you know, Buddha or Jesus, no. Think something positive. Yeah, some group of people, they get image of, you know, positive thoughts, simply looking at, you know, those holy images. Each image has histories. So they remind their history of, you know, Buddha's life, you know, Lama Tsongkhapa's life. It gives them some kind of strength or hope, you know, to be like that, to become like that. That's why they are there, you know. So, it's suitable for some people, it's not suitable for everybody, you know. So, but some kind of instructions, there's common sense, common sense. common sense, yeah, common sense. How do you say, common sense instructions? Common sense instructions. Something like, so that's why I want to hear, you know, like last Sunday we discussed, you know, what is meditation, what is for? What is meditation and what is for? And a lot of people contributed. So I just, you know, want to hear, I just want to hear, you know, from you, you know. So maybe this, slowly, slowly through these discussions, maybe we can come up with some instructions that helps everybody to think of the positive, you know. As I mentioned, in the Buddhism, then you memorize materials, then you review them, then you think about them, then hopefully, slowly, slowly, it will become part of your mind. Then that's how you think about life, samsara, or reality, you know, like, then there's not, this knowledge will help you to not go against the reality, stay with the reality and try to handle, you know. And what kind of mindset required to, when things goes wrong, what kind of mindset you need to help yourself, when things go very well, what kind of mindset you need to, you know, create more cause for those good things. This is all about, it's all about the, you know, attitude, it's all about thinking, it's all about perception. So, today I thought maybe we'll do this. I said, sometimes it's good to, Jill, where's Jill? No, Jill's not here. Oh, yeah. Sometimes it is good to do the breath cleansing yoga. Breath cleansing, not now, maybe now it's too late, middle of class. Maybe some other time, some in the beginning of the class, no. People need to laugh. People need to laugh, you know, because that's the one way to remove obstacles. Do you believe? Do you agree? Laugh, you know. If you become too serious, probably, no, we need to know that the breath cleansing yoga, I learned from one of the center members' mother, now she's already passed away, she taught me the breath cleansing yoga, and everybody has a bus, not bus, huh? Everybody, what burst mean? Burst? Laugh, yeah. So in my monastery, the reason I'm telling you this, you know, in my monastery, yeah, monastery, you know, when you look at from the outside, it's kind of serious place, right? Serious place. Tibetan monastery is a little different. When you see, you go there, you see a lot of laughing. But most of the monastery is kind of like, you know, everybody looks kind of serious, you know. So anyway, in my monastery, we have this curriculum. So we study, so then when we about to study about emptiness, that's very important topic. So then class has responsibility to do some kind of ritual, like week-long ritual practice. The class is responsible to find the fund. So then, you know, we set up a small restaurant in that, you know, then we try to sell some food, you know, try to make them money, and we go to, you know, different places, ask donations. Anyway, this whole week, this, what we call puja, means a ritual offering, you know, they're supposed to remove obstacles. What we do there, you know, this whole week, it's kind of like theater. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole monastery comes to look at our class, because what we do there, we eat nice food, you know, we make a lot of nice, like, very good food. And among our, is it okay for me to tell you a story?
Yes.
Yeah. Among our class, you choose one person to be clown. Clown. Huh? Clown? Make you laugh, basically make you laugh, yeah. Clown? Yeah. So we choose, I was so afraid they are going to choose me, you know, I was so afraid. So in our class, we have one African American monk. He's the first African American monk in the world. No, in our class, no, there's only one. We don't have many. It's only one in the monastery. So anyway, so we choose one person to make you laugh. So we do say some prayer here, there, most of the time during the lunch break, we eat lunch in the prayer. In my class, we have like 25 people. We all sit together. We sometimes we invite some higher monks. Then during the tea break, then the person stand up. He can wear any clothes he wants. He can wear any clothes. He don't have to wear robe. If I like sponsor the meals this day, he's going to wear like my hometown customs, whatever that might be. Then he'll do my hometown dance, and he will pick on you. He will ask you to stand up or say something, or and everybody just laughing. Not really serious. Not that whole week is not really seriously. It's just eating, laughing. Reason for this week-long program is dedicated to remove obstacles. When you look at it from outside, it's just making like joke and all kind of tease, all of that. So then, if that's the reason, so then I think everybody needs to laugh, make jokes, laugh, So that's the way, one way to remove obstacles. So, what do you think? Yeah. So maybe next time, maybe like we'll start to do the breath cleansing yoga. Not maybe beginner class, it will help. So then and also here, pretty much all of you are very educated. You can read. Pretty much all of you can read, It's not like in Tibet, so majority of the people cannot read. So here, also good to read about emptiness. Emptiness is called emptiness. The topic called emptiness. I think if you see emptiness, then I think you become real as ultimate hippie. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Then you become ultimate hippie. Hippie? Yeah. Why? Because then you see, things that we take very serious is not that serious. Well, the emptiness, it's like illusions. It's not like, nothing is, when you see emptiness, nothing is serious as we think. It is just level. It's just called. I call this prayer wheel. This is called table. It's called. It's not like right from the beginning it become like table. That's exactly how I feel. It's everything is just called. It's just level. It's just level. In the end. So I think it's good to if you are interested, the reason behind that is not like not knowing. We do say, I am not happy, or I am very proud, or my this is not very good, or my this is so valuable, all of that. When you really think, do I have very clear idea what is I? Do I really know what is I? We don't know. We have ideas, but what is the point is, what is self? What is self? How you define self? But then there's a lot of theory, a lot of different theories about how to define self, So there's something is going wrong right from the beginning, they're not having clear idea of what is I, because we say I'm happy, I'm not happy. When you think, if somebody called John, how you feel? If somebody criticizes you, how you feel? If somebody praises you at that moment, how you feel? If somebody calls your name, how you feel, That's very important in Buddhism. It's very, very important to identify the self. So then if you know how to do that, then everything, that we take very seriously, it become like illusions. It's not, serious as we think, It's just, it looks like the reflection in the still lake, of reflection of moon, star, whatever, in the clear still lake. It looks like moon, but it's not moon. It's just reflection. So, chana chana, juma melon, the panga chana, that is mayans. Even though you see that as a moon, it is not moon. It's the reflection of the moon. Chana chana, internal existence, external existence, all of that, you know, looks exactly the way we see, but it's not. It's not. It's the reflection of our mind. It's the reflection of our mind. Or somebody sees John is a very wonderful person, somebody sees John is a terrible person. John can be both wonderful person, terrible person. That's the reflection of our mind. It looks exactly like the, but it's not. It's like the reflection of the moon in the still lake. It looks like a moon, but it's not a moon. Chinachana, Jimamana, the Tanya, the Dazu, Chijin, Maya. It looks like, but it's not. Jumetinji, like the concentrations that allows you to see everything's like illusions, you know? Illusion, no? So there's no benefit if you can read about emptiness. What is emptiness? What is samsara? What is emptiness? And knowing about the nature of samsara, just like unrealistic expectation will reduce, automatically reduce. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to be happy all the time. That's the nature of samsara. So, you know, when I'm happy, I'll enjoy. When I'm not happy, I'm trying to think something positive and try to make it, you know, more like enjoyable. You know? If I really don't like samsara as a whole, what you can do, you can liberate. You can liberate yourself. For good. Is it easy? It's not easy. Sorry to say, it's not easy. Does it require effort? It does require effort. No? Nothing is easy. Even making a tea, it's not easy. Cleaning the room is not easy. Easy to think, but it's cleaning. It requires effort. Everything requires effort. With effort, we can improve, we can shine, we can rise and shine. We can rise, we can shine. No? Slowly, slowly, not right away, slowly, slowly. Take no time, practice, patience, things will change, slowly change. So, that's no, like, just want to share that with you now, the purpose or power of meditation, okay? So with that, then I'll stop my Mickey Mouse talk. My making was blah blah. So read these two questions first. So maybe one more discussion about meditation. Okay. So what is meditation? Do you like to hear from people what is meditation? And what is for? That's important. And I already said my opinion. Not my opinion, but you know, I already said what has been said. I just repeat here. So now this question is, I can obviously see the human and the animals realms. I can read about the hell, petra, hungry ghost realms. Everything is the reflection of our mind. Everything is the reflection of our mind, right? It's important to remember that. I can read about hell, the petra, hungry ghost realms. I think the petra and hungry ghost are just pretty much saying this. Petra is a Sanskrit word, not pretty much the same realms. I can imagine them, but is there any way to see or feel them in the human or animal realms? In Buddhism, you talk about six realms, you know, Nyawa, hell realm, Yida, petra realm, Tundra, animal realms. That's called three lower realms. Human, demigod, god, that's like three higher realms. That's called six realms. six realms, three lower realms, Petra realms, animal realms, then hell realms, three lower and higher realms, sa means how many, sa is God, small g, celestial realm, demigod, then human, these are called as higher realms. So, see, we are in higher realms, human, so there's something good, no? But is there any way to see or feel them in the human or animal realms, or human or animal realms? Certain clear voice, you could achieve certain clear voice, or you don't have to be liberated. You don't have to be liberated for samsara. Way before that, you can achieve some kind of clear voice. What does require? It requires very strong concentrations. Without strong concentrations, there's no way to achieve no clear voice. What it means? It means shamatha. Shamatha? Karma body meditations. When you go out of this gomba, you see the painting. There's like elephant, monkey, that, you know, the monk. It doesn't have to be monk, but it can be American too. Doesn't have to be just a painting. So that demonstrates nine stages of how to achieve the highest level of concentrations. Means if you decide to think about, oh, I'm going to think just about this prayer last 2 hours, next 2 hours, you can do without distractions. But it begins, you know, start with, you know, sometimes it's called single-pointed meditation. You just think, not just think nothing, but think something, not many things, something, maybe one thing, just think one thing. So then slowly, you know, first you look at some eye, then you close, then you have some kind of mental image, then you focus on that mental image, and that mental image will become clear, and your mind is going to be with that mental object long period of time. Then slowly, you know, the second stage. So end of this month, I'm going to probably teach karma body meditation. End of this month, I'm going to explain the nine stages of karma body meditation. So if you're interested, you can come. So then, you know, see, once you reach that, so then all different types of clairvoyance you can develop. So then, you know, yeah, seeing Petra, like there are, you know, many invisible beings that we are not interacted, but doesn't mean they are not there, but you know, so then probably you could see them, but you know, I was just wondering why you want to see them. I was just wondering, also, we have enough to see here, enough to see on human realm, so why you want to see them? So, but you know, they are practice, so it doesn't matter, you know, if you do some practice for them, it benefits them. Doesn't mean if you see them, they get benefit. If you don't see them, they don't get benefit. It's not like that. They get benefit, such as, you know, sur practice that we do. No, this is more dedicated for them. And according to Buddhism, talking about realms, you know, there are human realms, there's four different types of human realms. We are one of them. And our lifespan is not, how you say, fixed. But other human realms, their lifespan is fixed. Some of them live 250 years, guaranteed. Some of them live 500 years. Some of them live 1,000 years. If you are born in that, these are human. It's not like, no, these are like human, but no, there are four different types of human realms. We are one of them. Oh, oh yeah. Is there any way to see or feel them in the human or animal realms? And sometimes people born with, you know, some kind of psychic ability, you know. From the Buddhist point of view, no, it's all leads back to the karma. It's not like or like just happened, you know, without cause and condition. Then everybody should have psychic abilities, but some people do, some people don't. So there, you know, has, you know, probably some kind of karmic relationship. So what we call in Tibetan community, we call mirror lady, mirror lady. You go to that lady, and that lady does some kind of like prayers. Then she has one bowl, then top of there like brass. Mirror is made out of brass. Then she's sitting there, then she explains. She sees like mountain, cloud, flower, then not like you, but then based on that, she explains, sometimes very good. I myself went there one time, kind of surprised me, so, sometimes some people say it's not accurate, but sometimes people do go there, we have called mirror lady. So tamik, mik means eye, tamik means there's some special like, kind of like, not really eye, but it's called eye, tamik. So vulture, animal, bird, vulture has no ability, like there's like special visions. They can see thousands of miles if there's some dead animal. They have specialized visions. That's called shiny. So there's that's like natural, the bond with, if you're born as the vulture, you gain the abilities. So similar, there are in the human realm, some people does have this kind of psychic abilities, tamik. So there's mirror lady is called tamik. Then she look at the mirror, then she will explain. If you ask about your family, some issues, then she will explain. But she will not explain if you lose some money. If you go there to ask who stole my money, she will not say. So see, the nature oracle, the His Holiness, like personal protectors called nature. The Tibetan exile government is handled by human and protectors. It's been like this last 500 years, It's like certain things that you, the trans spirit comes into people's body, how you say? Huh?
Trans.
So then, then gives some kind of like prophecy. It's been like that, Tibetan exile government's been like that since from before 1959. Some difficult issues there, that like person will trans. So trans, then you say something, some prophecy, like what we should do. So somebody, and some Westerner went there, asked nature oracle about a lottery number. Jackpot. See, that's interesting, We Tibetan people never think something like that, ask oracle. So that's very interesting. So I'm not sure what he said. So, can I tell you one more story? If you remember this, there's one called the BBC broadcaster called Michael Palin. If you are familiar with Michael Palin, so he goes, he travels different countries, interacting with different cultures. I was really laughing. So he interviewed Dharamsala to have interviewed His Holiness Dalai Lama. So before that, he went to that. We have sections that are dedicated for medicine, Tibetan medicines, astrology departments. So he went there to talk to astrologers, so they can read your chart. So then the astrologer told him that your previous life is elephant. You used to be elephant. He said, oh, that's interesting. But he don't believe in anything, I don't think so. So anyway, then he had meeting with His Holiness Dalai Lama, he asked His Holiness what he think about that astrology that told him that his previous life is elephant. So His Holiness didn't really respond that question, he said something else. Anyway, so then from there he left India. So he went to Thailand, somewhere in Thailand or Southeast Asia, where the tourists interact with the elephants. You ride elephant, you go to the river, then you watch them. So then he's riding elephant, then he's watching one elephant, and he's telling the elephant, Oh, don't worry about your next life. You are going to be BBC broadcaster. Because I used to be elephant, now I'm BBC broadcaster. You are going to make good money. Oh, it makes me really laugh. It's really funny. Why do you think it's funny? I think it's really funny. So, no need to worry, I'm going to wash you. No need to worry about your next life. You are going to make good money. You are going to be BBC broadcaster. Oh yeah, so yeah, so that's that. So now the second question, then I'll stop. Sorry, now a lot of time has been taken. Does karma purify by four powers? Yes. From the base of Buddhism, yes, no, that's how you purify. Four power, you know, power of dependence, and power of regret, and power of, you know, will power or heart power, not to repeat in from now on, not to repeat next moment. There's a third power, and the fourth power is like antidote, you know, whatever you're doing, like you are saying mantra or like, you know, doing something positive, some kind of service, that's all the power of the antidote. So now say, does karma purify by the four power and the Vajrasana mantra? Yes, very, very powerful purification practice, Vajrasana mantra, recite Vajrasana mantra. And
does karma purified by the four powers and the Vajrasattva mantras still exist, or is it burned forever?
Oh, the kind of is karma?
Yes.
What do you think? Well, I would hear from you. Huh?
No.
Huh?
No. No.
So this is, you know, this is, I think, is good to talk. This is good to talk about, you know, like, say, you know, we all have issues, right? We all have, you know, like, that also leads back to, you know, like, Jill, that also leads back to the self-forgiveness, how to forgive yourself, how to forgive. And like, what is this, what it means purification practice, how you purify. So please, you know, contribute like how you purify, let's say, in order to feel better, feel good.
I used to have that question all the time because I got the practice, I understood it, but I always want to say, but is it really gone? Because you still feel icky for something you've done in the past. So you're still feeling, you know that you did something, and we've talked about it before. So the way I think you've explained it is that the seed is still there. It's just dried, on the shelf, put away. Like it's not on moist soil, so it's not going to ripen again. So the seed doesn't leave. We still did something. We still did it, but we've completely... We know that we don't want to do it again, so we've dried that seed out. We've made the decision, I don't want to act like that again, or I'm not going to do that again. And even if we do it again, we still dry it out again. So it doesn't go away, it just lessens its power, its stickiness.
Anybody else? Yeah, please. Yeah,
yeah, similar to Jill, I just, in the 12-step program, we say, you know, if you abstain from drugs, you know, you always have the addiction, but it can be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible. So if you keep like purifying and not doing that behavior, you're not going to use again, because you're arresting that seed. It's there, and you have to be. It's kind of there, but you're. To me, the pure, because we talked about it yesterday here, a great class by Tendrin, is that the seed is still there, like Jill said, but you can arrest it and just make sure it doesn't ripen again. And just so that then your recovery is then possible, just like what they say in the program I go to. That's my understanding.
Seed means like tendency.
Yeah.
Cool.
You told a story once about a boy like nailing nails into wood, and then you know you have to use the tool to take the nail out. And so like the Vajrasattva practice is like, you know, taking the nail out. And so you're using the tools, like the hammer as your tool, the mantra as your tool, and it doesn't erase the effects of the karma, but you're stopping, you're doing as much as you can. And then there's also the practice of like filling back in the holes. And then it's not really ever the same, but you stop something. Yeah, well, the cycle, but I mean, you did something. You took the nail out.
Yeah, you put the nail down,
right.
But you took the nail out.
Yeah.
But the wood is still there.
Right, the wood is still there, and even though the hole is there, it's different
than... Hole is there, yeah.
Right, the hole is there, but it's different than you creating more holes or, you know, not taking care of what you've already done.
Yeah, that's an example. The wood is not going to be the same. Before there's no hole, then you put the nail down, then you make hole, then you take the nail out. And eventually they're putting more nail down, you end up taking more nail out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I don't know. So now the broader question, Krishna is like, how we as a human, just forget about religion part, we as a human, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, religion person also has something to feel bad, you as a not believing in anything, also something to feel bad, you know, how we, how you say, what we do when we feel something bad, what we do? We have to do something, otherwise we are not going to feel better. If we don't do anything, it's not going to feel better, because everybody wants to feel better, but there's no how you're going to feel better. We have to do something. So, in here it's called purification practice. So I was wondering what we should do, like, to feel, how you say, do you understand my question?
Yeah, to make yourself feel better even after you do a practice. Well, for some people it might be the practice, but you know, for other people, like especially in our tradition, generosity is a way to really feel better about yourself, and you see the results of, you know, someone else feeling better. You know, if you practice generosity.
Yeah, that's also purification practice. You know, doesn't have to be, you know, to feel say. What I can tell you is like doing a purification practice. You know, there are a number of purification practices that you can do in Buddhism. The beautiful about that is like, first you have to have motivation to do, right? That's kind of challenge, you know, motivation to exercise. Not just good to have wish to go around the lake, but you can visualize, oh, I already went two round, but practically you didn't went any round, you know, you just think. So, see, motivation, in order to have motivation, first you have to see the benefit. What is the benefit of doing the practice? What's the benefit? Oh, it says, if you say one name one time, it purifies 10,000 eons of negative karma. Oh, that's great. Well, I will probably say, you know, if that's the case, I will say, happy to say, just one time, you know. I like that idea to purify 10,000 eons compared to this life is nothing. When you talk of eons, this life, then you just worry about yesterday what I did. And saying that one name purify 10,000 eons, oh, that's good, I will say. Practically, do I really know how it that much purify? It's hard. It's hard. But with conviction, not just blind faith. With conviction, said, "Who, as a Buddhist, who said, Shakyamuni Buddha said, is he something to reliable? Yeah, of course, no. So that's how you build motivation to do this practice. So now the beautiful thing, when you do this practice, in the end, you do feel good. So that's what I mean. You know, you can't just sit around or think something negative. It's not good, no. Think something negative, out of negative mindset, What you are thinking is something negative. What you are doing is nothing. And you are just sitting like couch potato, not doing anything. You know? So that's not good. Think something. So that's why I ask, is this possible? Is it possible to think something negative out of positive mindset? Is it possible? Is it possible to think something negative out of positive mindset? I was wondering. That's exactly what you're supposed to do when you do purification practice. Out of positive mindset, you are thinking something negative. If you are doing something for that, at the end, instead of feeling bad, you feel good. So that good feeling can be increased. But memory will be there, but it can be increased, you know, every day, you know. So like that. A lot of dirty dishes in the sink. Buy all kind of like detergents, the best of the best, all kind of sponge, put it there and sit, meditate. Oh, all the dishes will be clean. It's not going to be clean. Oh, yeah. So then what, the police say something. Thomas, you want to say something like, please contribute, you know, like, what we should do? What we should do to feel good? What we should do?
Then I'll go ahead. When you talked about purification and being kind of similar to self-forgiveness, I think of that story about, this isn't actually in the context of self-forgiveness, but the story about, now I forget who he was, but he was meditating and hoping to see Maitreya, and he comes out and he sees the bird fly by.
Asanga,
yes. And it seems as though purification practice can be like that bird flying by, that maybe the first time you do practice, it wipes away a little bit of the karma, and not enough to see. But the more you practice and the more you work on purification, the stronger you get in that practice, and the more of it gets eroded away, so that eventually there's nothing left.
Yeah, please, yeah, please.
So I have two comments. The first is attachment to karma. And so if we were to assume that someone is attached to their karma, and you can say that leads to this and this comes from that, then if someone has that karma and they have some negative karma that needs to be purified, so they go through a purification process. I would look at it and say there's an attachment to the karma, and you could say there's an attachment to the state of that karma. So if someone commits a negative act and goes through the four phases and has purification, the first attachment would be to the negative karma. And if the process of going through that purification is such, Jill, listening to your example, if I were to kill 1,000 people, that would be a bad thing. I think we would all agree that that would probably be a bad thing. And yet if I go through purification as a result of that, and I become liberated, I don't say I become enlightened, then that has led to a positive consequence. If my attachment then is to the 1,000 people that I killed, then my attachment is to the regret or to the act itself, not to transforming that negativity into a positive outcome. If my attachment is to that liberation, is to that happiness that has resulted from that, then that is a attachment to a positive outcome. Or, again, going back to that attachment to karma, I'm now attached to a positive karma that comes from that, which helps me to be beneficial to others. A comment.
So please, we give applause to every each person when they talk to all of you. Thomas, Christian, all of you.
Yeah. Hello, yes. You were talking about karma, and I have like a kind of a unique experience with, I was mentioned before that I was a combat veteran. And, you know, you have these experiences where you, they're very unique to veterans, where you see things, you do things that, you know, you were talking about, you know, killing, you know? And, you know, you're taught to do these things as part of a job, you know. And when you're in these situations, you know, I can explain it like you're talking about changing the way you think. I would go to a commander. I had a commander that I had. And I would go to him and I would tell him, look, I need this. I got men in trouble. We need to do this. I need this. And I would tell him that. And every time I told him that, he'd look at me and say, good. Every time. And I'd go and I'd have to figure out the problem on my own. Every time. About the third time that I went up to him, I asked him, and I said, I know what you're going to say, good. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to ask, tell me why, you know. And we had a conversation, and he told me, he said, look, every time you have a problem in your life, not just in the Army, say good, all right? And you will see the, instead of seeing the glass half full, you'll see it, you know, half empty, you'll see it half full. And it'll change your whole cognitive process on the way that you see things. And guess what? It works. See, but with that also comes discipline, right? Because when you discipline the body, you can free the mind, right? Because it takes discipline to have generosity, to practice generosity. It takes discipline to care and practice love and do all these things. To control your ego or your attachment, right, or your superego, that's when it gets even more complicated. When it becomes a moral thing, the right and wrong, where your emotions will say, did I kill somebody for the right reasons, right? Those are emotions that you have to sit with and get comfortable with, because those are the psychological experiences that are the fuel that move you along in life. When people tell me, you know, this or that, and they judge you and they say you've done this or that, that's your opinion. You haven't been there. You haven't shared those experiences like other veterans have. You understand? So that's where meditation and the discipline comes to say it's just a lack of understanding. People don't understand my experiences or the experience that other veterans have. And that's okay, because they have experiences that I don't understand either. That's where we can learn from each other. You know? That's just how... I don't practice Buddhism, but I'm looking into it. That's why I'm starting to come. But it's interesting, because I see it more of a... almost like a science, you know? It's the way I see it.
I think that others have said this, but the way I see this is that it really comes down to the individual's perception of the purification. Because if nothing in the universe is inherently existent, then that applies to karma as well. So if your motivation for the purification, if you believe that it's going to work, and you believe not just intellectually but deeply throughout that it's going to work, and then after that, if you believe that it did work thoroughly, not just intellectually or logically, then it works, because it's your perception of the karma that makes it real. That's the only thing that makes it real. At least that's the way that I see it. But if there's a part of you that believes it still lingers, then it does still linger.
One of the things that I think we need to remember very importantly is in the beginning of the practice that, you know, the short practice that I try to do is you go and say, I seek refuge. And we seek refuge in the three jewels. One of those three jewels is I seek refuge in the Sangha. And we must not forget that we have a Sangha that is our whole community, a community that is non-judgmental, a community that you can go to when you are attempting to change your mind from negative to positive. Maybe sit with a Dharma brother and sister, and they will listen, and they might say, good, or they might say, how could this be an opportunity? Just listening and perhaps a little nudge in the way that you know they're not trying to move you in any direction, but they understand that you are attempting to move from negative to positive. Just to have another human being next to you doing that with you is so important, and we have that here. So I'm just inviting everybody to not forget that and to open up perhaps to Dharma brothers and sisters in this process.
Also, I want to say something. So, you know, purification from a Buddhist point of view, it's not that difficult, you know. So it's, oh, Vajrasattva mantra, that's like 100 syllables. It's not just one syllable, there's 100 syllables. That's, you know, maybe too hard to memorize. But, you know, the stupa here, you see the stupa outside? So that's, you know, like then the side of the, there, you know, you going around, you don't have to be Buddhist. During the prayer, you don't have to be Buddhist. This is all dedicated for well-being of sentient beings, you know. With that mindset, oh, like, you know, wish to free all living beings from the problems. With that mindset, if you turn, you created a lot of merit. So then, you know, when you go outside, you know, so there's a prayer where you can just turn with positive thought. That's the purifications. You go around one round stupa clockwise. You know, so then, you know, it also purifies. So reason I'm saying that, you know, that's why we build stupa here, you know, not in somewhere in Asia. We build here for you. When you come here, it doesn't require much effort, you know, you can just go. You don't have to be serious. You can talk, you know, go around. Even yourself, you can go around. And then, as I also mentioned, if you're a pet, you can bring. I think we can bring pet here, right? I think there's no restriction. You can take round, you know, say, one pig, hawk, or pig, chased by a dog, end up running around the stupa, fear of life, not with positive motivation, just running around the stupa to save life. If that pig purified that much karma to be born as a human, just going around the stupa, we as a human, we can go around with some kind of mindset, you know. So I never chase anybody around the stupa. So far, I'm not going to chase anybody around the stupa. I've never been chased, but, you know. So sometimes children, they know, chase it around the stupa, so that's very good. So anyway, so going one round with the positive mindset, it will purify, you know. So my cat, Ninja, I used to, you know, go around, so I see benefit, and even in the cat, I see benefit. You know, so Ninja goes around my altar, you know, with me all the time, you know, so. Then where she died, at my house, is amazing. Last place that she should die is my altar room. That's where she go around. And that mattress, that's why she died, right there. She, there's many rooms, she could die any rooms, you know. But she chose to end her life there. So I thought that's, you know, she created a lot of magic just by going around all these holy objects. So I, that's, you know, that makes me more, I said, belief, you know, the benefit doesn't have to be human. Human do get benefit because we have this marvelous mind, you know, brain. Even the cat get benefit. So I think, you know, so that since then I really encourage people to, you know, if you really love your pet, you know, let them bring here, go around the stupa, you know. So I think there's a lot of benefit. You can get, both of you can get some exercise. It's not too mild loop, but, you know, it's like short, but, you know, you can go round and round. So that's an easy way to purify. That's why we built this here. So don't think our purification practice is so complex. No, it's not that complicated. Just go around the stupa, okay? Yeah, I just want to share that with you. Yeah, so please, all my friends here, you know, I try to do by myself, you know, not just sit down and think something negative and do nothing. So I try to do, whenever I think something, you know, we all are human. You have issues, I have issues, you know, I'm not liberated, I'm not enlightened. You know, I also have, you know, like a negative mind, you know, so I do get upset with Gishisambo. Certain things that, you know, I want him to do, he don't do. So, you know, I sometimes, not frequently, but sometimes I do scream, not very loud, but, you know, loud enough that he hears. So, you know, it's like, day to day life challenge, you know. So mine is going to be there forever. It's going, it's less, as I mentioned before, it's like permanent roommate you can get rid of. Mm-hmm. Every day I have to get my own act together. Huh? How do you say that saying?
That's right.
You get your act together, then motivate, you know. To, my daily routine is pretty much the same, you know. I wake up, then I set up my altar, then I, you know, to, you know, do some prayers, you know. Not every day, but sometimes I think it gets, you know, some benefit, you know. So every day, you know, what I can do, you know, every day, you know, do something better. So all my friends here who come to the Kadamba Center, please, you know, whenever you feel something bad, and do something positive. Do something positive. Then in the end, you will feel good. You will feel good. Process might not be very exciting, you know, same as like walking around the lake, you know. Of course, then Jarima said, you have to have self-discipline. You have to have self-discipline. You know? Feeling good, there's nothing wrong. Or some people may say, oh, that's very selfish. Yeah, we have to feel good. You know, we have to make ourselves feel good. You know, that's good selfish, you know, feel good. We have to liberate ourselves. Mm. So, and, you know, whenever you feel good, feel bad, and don't just, you know, sit around and think something more negative, that's not good, you know. Whenever you feel something good, then things do something positive. Do something positive. At the end, you will feel good. So then, you know, more heart power develop to do more, you know, next time. Okay? So overall, I think all the people that who come here, wonderful people, very, very wonderful people. So we are trying to be, we are here to get together and trying to improve where we think ourselves, where we think other people, other culture, other belief, other religions. We're trying to be open-minded. You know, only thing that matters, fundamentally, only thing that's good for the whole world is to be a good person. You know, think something positive, you know. The best benefit, help. If not, at least not harm. Why? No, because that you are looking for happiness, they are looking for happiness. Is it easy? It's not easy. Therefore, meditation is important to charging. Meditation means charging our mind every day, you know, charging our mind. Huh? So then when you come out of that meditation, hopefully there's hope that your perception may is going to change. Hmm? So then slowly, okay? Not right away, slowly, with time, practice, patience. Slowly, we will change. Slowly, we will change. Huh? So, if we really worry about someone, just wish them happy, you know. Oh, I'm also worried that, you know, he's not practicing Buddhism. That's not good, you know. So, if you really worry, just wish them happy. Just wish them happy, you know. Success, happy. And say some prayers for their happiness, huh? So, I've been here 16 years, no, 16 years, last 16 years. So I see, you know, whenever I go outside, you know, overseas, I tell them, you know, there are a lot of good people in America. There's a lot of good people in America, you know, like warm-hearted people, you know, willing to help. So see, whenever there's like tragedy of the world, you know, people from this country contribute. So you have to remember, you know, you have to remember, like, I'm the one also, I say, use a lot of your, how you say, relief fund. I have vivid memory. I've used them, they have like huge, big bag of grain, comes their oil. You can't imagine how much oil I eat when I was in monastery. So that's like all from like American flag with just hand, like go like this, two hands. That's a relief, you know, from this country. It's probably your money. The government is your money. That's you pay. Government, you know, you pay, that's part of your tax money. So it goes all over the world, even reach all the way to my monastery during 60s, hippie time. pre-60s, I was there, you know, 7 years old. I remember eating all of this, you know, oil, the dry milk powder, grain, all of that. That every monk in my generation has memory. You know? That's part of your generosity. Mm. So you are doing good things, you know, so sometimes it's good to remember. Remember, you know, remember, okay? Yeah. So with that, then I will stop here and thank you, each and every one of you who contributed. So then please do continue in the Sunday programs that people like to hear from you, your experience, your understanding about meditations. So that's how the class is going to be, like, you know, many, many Sundays like that, okay? Thank you, and I have a nice weekend. Thank you very much.
In the Gold Rare Book, page
246.
Your mic is on your back. Oh, thank you. Turn to page 246 in the Gold Prayer Book. In the white binder, it's probably on the back of the page you just read. It's dedication from Master Shanti Deva, Bodhikarya Vatara. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see form, the deaf hear sound. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water, the may the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvest. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened people be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as faith remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.
Thank you very much. Have a nice weekend.
Just want to make a quick announcement. my name is Kim Lillig. I'm the membership coordinator here. And this Sunday, we're going to have a membership meeting in the back. So if you're interested in becoming a member or would like some more information, right in the back of the Gampa, I'd be happy to meet you there. Thanks.
And also, as you can see, we've got a beautiful table of offerings for Tara that were left here for us to enjoy today after we had a tar practice last night. And if anybody would like to help take down those offerings, we would certainly appreciate your help. Thank you.